Well, good morning and welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and keeping safe and encouraged, especially those who are listening in. Our children, our young people, we welcome them at the start of the service again, and just a little bit later in the service, they'll go out for kids' church and join us in at the end as well. For those listening in online, welcome to St Andrew's Anglican Church, Abbotsford, or if you're visiting us today for the very first time, a very special welcome to you. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here, and here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, we welcome you. We are at Abbotsford, are a group of people of all ages, all shapes and sizes, all different backgrounds. We love Jesus, and we choose to live life God's way according to his word, the Bible, and we invite you to learn of God and love God and follow him as we do. Involved in the service today is Minette. I'm going to wave Minette. Minette's going to read the Bible to us a little bit later on. And David's going to lead us in prayer. David, you're going to wave. Great. And today, in our musos, it's Sam on the keyboard, young Lan and myself leading you in singing today. There's a few of us missing. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching through the Gospel of Luke. And the sermon series is on the title, I should ask the men this one, they know the reason why, that we might be certain of the things that we have been taught. And our mission focus for February has been on the work of special religious education in our local schools. It's great that they've gone back this week, and it's good to have them in our class, and also on Anglican chaplains in our schools. And we also welcome today the Rotundos. Do you want to wait? They're going to come up. Where are they? Here we go. Yay. Good to see you all. And they're going to come. I'm going to get to come up a bit later on in the service and just tell us what their future is coming along in the future ahead. Well, let me pray before we sing our first song. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 10 to start with, because there's a lot of sad things happening in the world at the moment. And the Archbishop has asked us to pray this particular prayer after reading Psalm 10, this little verse. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God, do not forget the helpless. And we ask this. Sovereign Lord, you observe all those who dwell on earth, and we ask of you to have mercy, we pray, on those who are now suffering the miseries of war, not of their own making. Have compassion on the wounded and the dying at this time. Comfort the brokenhearted, confound the hatred and madness of those who make war, guide our rulers, bring war to an end, bring peace across the world, unite us all under the reign of your Son, the Prince of Peace, before whose judgment seat the rulers of the world will one day give account, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, this time with you and whenever we meet with your people is special. It's always special. We ask that you take our anxious thoughts and that you let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing our first song together, which reminds us to come, people of the risen King, and to know that our God is our God and King of all. Church of Christ, rejoice. am mindful today that even though across our state we have that liberty to be able to remove our masks today, I am mindful that today, as I sent the text around to you, if we could just keep our masks on at this service today. But we do understand that you have that liberty to remove it during the day, during the service, not the day, not going to have a whole day service today, right? But during the service, to be able just to breathe and to, you know, to relieve that, that's fine. But just be mindful. We're conscious of each other at this time. Parish Council will meet after church today and we'll decide about what's coming up in the weeks ahead. Well, over the last couple of weeks in our kids' church and in our family time, we've been thinking about Jesus having authority. And here we have the policeman, police person. We've had the paramedic. We've had a king and even a boss, right? All of these people have got, what is it? Authority. And that means that they can take charge. They're in control. We can trust them to follow their instructions. And we've seen that Jesus has shown that he has all the authority of God over the last couple of weeks from Luke's gospel. We've seen him show that authority over evil, remember? Over the sick and over nature. And today in our time of Bible teaching in Luke's gospel, we're going to be hearing how Jesus has authority over people, and in particular over his disciples and his apostles. He calls them to follow, to come and follow him. Also, for these disciples who will one day become apostles, he has a very special job in store for them to do in the future that helps us to trust in the things that we've been taught about Jesus from his word. They could trust Jesus to follow him and learn from him because Jesus is God's son. Sometimes we might think, is the New Testament really God's word? Is it really what Jesus did and thought? Well, remember that job that the disciples and the apostles Jesus was calling them to come and follow him? He was wanting them to learn from him, to be gather in the information, to be witnesses, to see who Jesus is and what he could do and has done, and to write them down in the New Testament so that we can trust the witnesses. We can trust Jesus to follow him and learn from him because Jesus is God's son. But he's not only God's son, who else is he? He is the king, the ruler over everything. All right. I have a bit of fun here, and I hope you're having fun too, all right? But we're going to sing our kids' song that we're learning, so stand up again, and we're going to sing this song, and it's called Jesus is the King, Ruler Over Everything. All right, here we go. There's some actions that come with it.
Jesus is the King, Ruler Over Everything. Jesus is the One. Promise one, the Son of God, Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. He commanded the fishermen, hey, come follow me. And they did, and they did, and they did. Jesus is the King, Ruler over everything. Jesus is the One, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, He is the King. He is the King. He commanded the evil ones, hey, come out of Him. And they did, and they did, and they did. Because Jesus is the King, Ruler over everything. Jesus is the One, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord, He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, Jesus, He is the King. The wind. 3 days after death, he'd rise again. And he did. And he did. And he did. Because Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus. Jesus. He is the Jesus, he's the King.
Father, we thank you that Jesus is your King and our King. Go with our kids and their teachers now, and may they learn more of you and grow in their knowledge and love of you. Amen. Please, kids, off we go. We'll see you all a bit later on. And teachers, and don't sit down. Just turn around to the people next to you. Don't move around from your seat. But just COVID safely say good morning. Welcome to church. Hello. I'm such and such. Welcome. There's such and such over there and such over there. Take a seat. Take a seat, everyone. All right. It's wonderful to be with God's people. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, those listening in and those with us today, God calls us to live our lives to his glory. For Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But if we're honest with ourselves, we fail to honour him and respond to his love for us. And so as we gather together, recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let's confess our sins now together. Together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our God is merciful and forgiving, slow to anger and abounding in goodness and love. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures, the Bible, their precepts, promises, directions, and light. As Minette comes to read them to us now, and for me to preach them, they're there, Lord, to help us to learn of Christ. May that be so. Amen. Thanks, Minette.
Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 8 to 11, and then from verses 27 to 32. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Verses 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and you'll find the Bible reading in your bulletin that you would have received as you came in as well, with a little Bible study questions on the back that you can do in your small groups during the week or on your own time. But turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We pick up from where we left off last week at verse 8 and following. You may recall that Luke's purpose in writing his gospel was that his readers may be certain of the things that they have been taught. Luke chapter 1 verse 4. The things regarding the person and work of Jesus, the Son of God. His reasoning being, as he recorded in the chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says that he had come to seek and to save the lost. Right, that's the reason why he's come, to seek and to save the lost. And Luke wants his readers to be certain of this, of the things that they've been taught about how Jesus has done that. The lost being all people in the eyes of God. All of us have turned away from God. We've separated ourselves from God, from Him, and unable to find our way back to Him. That is the state of mankind. Our only hope is for God to choose, for God in His mercy to choose to come and find us and save the lost. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek after God. They all have turned aside. Turned together, they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. And we ask Luke, tell us, Luke, how can we be certain that this Jesus, who we have been taught of from the Bible, is the one who has been sent to seek and to save us who are lost? Has he the credentials? Is he capable to do it, to seek and to save me, who is lost? And Luke has written so far to his reader and to us too. He was announced by angels, this Jesus. He was spoken of by prophets and priests. He was known by him from early age that he was the Son of God. It was confirmed to Jesus by his father's voice at his baptism. He was unwavering in his belief, though tempted by the devil. He owned it himself as the fulfillment of Scripture, and he demonstrated it with all authority of God over evil, over sickness, over nature, and today we read over people. Picture yourself there with those who heard and saw. Let me just take you back as to some of the Bible verses and that we've seen and some that we've heard so far. To go back to the time and think about being there in the synagogue with the Jews as they hear their preacher, Jesus, sitting there on the throne with the authority of God saying, "I, your preacher, are the one who fulfills these scriptures." Jesus saying that he is the promised Christ. Imagine yourself there hearing that. And then another day at the synagogue, all of a sudden a man screams in the congregation And Jesus goes over and casts out an evil spirit. And it's not the only occasion that he does that. Imagine being there and witnessing and experiencing that. And there's Simon and those fishermen with him, hauling in this miraculous catch of fish, all right? After you with him have said, look, we've been fishing all night, you know, but okay, Jesus, you know, we'll go out, we'll go fishing with you, but we won't catch anything, you know? And look what they do. Imagine being there in that situation. And then another day later, Jesus asks you to go across to the lake with the disciples, and he falls asleep, and in the midst of this, there's a huge storm, and Jesus gets up, and with a word just says, be still, be calm, and the wind and the waves die down. Just imagine yourself being there and experiencing that for yourself, witnessing all the authority of God there at that time. Sitting there in amazement in a boat in the middle of a calm lake in the presence of and looking at a man who has just calmed a storm, they say, who is this man? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? This is Jesus, the Son of God, Luke's telling us. This is the one who has come to seek and save the lost. If anyone has, he has the credentials and the capability to do so. And there's more to come. How would you respond if you were there? If you saw what they saw, heard what they heard? I gather we would say, as they did, who is this man? And I gather that is what has happened at some point in your life, if not then now, as you think on these things, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him, casts out evil, heals the sick? Though not present there with those who first saw and heard, through the reading and hearing and teaching from God's word, the Bible, by those who were with God, I believe by his Spirit, he has caused us to stop, turn, and think on this man as they did and ask, who is this man who asks of me, where is my faith? That's what he says to the disciples, isn't it? Where is your faith? He's saying here, and it's after the storm. It's not about faith to trust God in the storms of life. No, yes, it's part of that, but that's not there. It's saying seeing Jesus in front, a person who has all the authority of God, he's saying, do you trust me? Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Do you believe that I'm the one who's come to seek and to save the lost? Where is your faith, your belief in me to do what I've come into the world to do? That's what he's saying to them. And the penny is slowly dropping. How would you respond? Well, Simon and Levi in our reading respond with faith in Jesus and repentance. They have a change of mind and they have a change of action. And it's concerning a change of mind and action concerning this man whom the wind and the waves obey, who can have authority over evil and over sickness. And they follow him. And this is true of others that he called. And I've given some references all the way in there in your handout for other places where he calls people to follow him. And it's true for us too. For this same Jesus calls us to follow him, to put our faith in him for who he is and what he had come into the world to do. I have not come to call the righteous. I've not come to call people who are right with God. And it's sort of saying, well, there's no one who's right, remember? There's no one who's right. No one who's righteous before God. No one who could stand up and sort of say, look at me, I'm just as good as you, God. No, I've not come to call that. That's silly. I've come to call sinners, those who are lost, to repentance, to change how they're thinking about God, His Son Jesus, to put their faith in Him, to repent and believe and follow. I've come to seek and find lost people, Jesus would say to us, with all the authority of God over us, to call you to change the way you think and believe concerning me, Jesus would say to us, to put your faith in me and come follow me to the place of safety. Come follow me where? It's not just sitting saying to us to learn of him and to listen to what he's teaching, but come follow me. And the question we ought to be asking is, where are you going, Jesus? Where are you going so as to, now that you've found us, you've sought us and seen, where are you calling us to follow you, to go to know that we're saved? Where is Jesus going? He's going to the cross. And he takes them to the cross, and they're gathered around the cross later on in the gospel. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Who is this man? You may remember that Jesus also called these disciples to be apostles. You remember, he also has another job for them to do. Another job to do as they follow him, as they listen in and see who he is and what he does. It's because these men whom Jesus chose, ordinary men from all different backgrounds, ordinary men, not educated, some were, some weren't. All were. He calls them to follow, listen in, because they will be empowered by the Spirit. And in Luke's second book, which is the continuation of his gospel in Acts, these men continue Jesus' ministry and the power of the Spirit as his apostles, his sent ones, doing what Jesus did and preaching the gospel. And then writing down what they heard and saw, that people like Luke could gather that information, write it down, and that we who read it in 2022 might know the certainty of the things we have been taught. Jesus came to seek and save Trevor. I am to have the certainty of that which I have been taught from his word. Jesus came to seek and save you who were once lost, that you too may have the certainty of the things that you've been taught from his word. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed together. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let's say this psalm together. Sometimes we may feel this way and remember the promises of God from His Word. Together. I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Let's stand again and sing.
Sanctify.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, it's great to be able to welcome Fiona and Ricardo today, and Joseph as well too. And I'm going to ask Ricardo if he can come up now and just tell us a little bit about what's been happening in your lives in mission work with OM of Australia, and what's happening in the future, briefly. Yeah, you can go to that one. That'd be great.
Good. We've been serving the Lord here with refugees, Afghan Iranians, Lebanese, whatever crossing our way, that are Muslim background. And have a network of friends. It's because I've been working in Villawood Detention Centre until they basically closed down to get refugees any longer. But now we keep in contact by SMS, emails, and time to time we go out just to catch up.
Can you tell us one little story, maybe about an encounter that you've had with one of the refugees?
Yeah. Just recently on Friday, I went door knocking just right beside the church, and with the minister, we are going to have next month's evangelistic month. So we thought, let's get ready for that. So we started to door knocking, and then we found a Catholic background, a Chilean guy, but they were living together with two Muslim guys, one Indian and one Lebanese. So we start just having a chat. And of course, this guy says, oh, well, it's Friday, we need to go for a prayer. Suddenly right. Became religious to avoid the conversation. So they went away, so we talked with the Catholic guy. But eventually, the guys thought, you know, it's much distraction. So he popped in, and then so we divide and we start to have a good conversation. And it was interesting to say, that's also what we find in many, many people that are not Muslim too. He says, you know, I got my Muslim chip in my mind. You got your Christian chip in your mind. So you got your God and my God. We're both going to my paradise. You go to your heaven. So that's interesting conversation that we need to keep going through. The good thing is he was respectfully asking me to come back another time to keep talking on. But, you know, people are ready just to hear. Just need to be a little bit more courageous to chat.
And I gather they're just really grateful to be welcomed and to and to feel a part of here, home, safe, somewhere.
And but people are ready to talk. The thing is, are we ready? Are we comfortable to take the risk? Because actually, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to be slammed the door in our faces. And it hurts. We feel rejected. And we all want to feel comfortable. But that's part of the risk, you know, when we follow Jesus. You know, these disciples, when they, as you've been sharing, they have to leave the job, the livelihood, to the unknown. It's excited, but could I afford that? Could we afford somebody slam the door in our face just for the sake of eternal life? So they thought, and this is Peter says, to whom we go? You go. Words of eternal life. So I think when we go to knock a door, we think we bring the better gifts. If they slam the door, it's their lost. Instead of thinking, you know, how can I clean my wounds? Anyway.
But you're continuing your ministry to refugees, where you're going now? Because you're leaving from Sydney to move north.
Yeah, we've got in between OMS called a MAP team, which is a ministry to Australian people, referring to Muslim, which they are now Australian too. So we've got three teams, one in Melbourne and one in Brisbane too. So in there we've got two families. One is Afghans, working among the Afghans. And then we've got a Caucasian English background, which they're going to teach English as a second language. They're doing this now. So basically I'm joining these two, teaching English as a second language to reach out to those guys. I'm not going to be the teacher, but I'm going to be the one talking to the guys. And with the families, we've got now 300 families coming to Brisbane, so that they need to be show how we live in Australia, how to register the car, how to get an insurance for the car, whatever, how to fill out paperwork, so that we start building a friendship, and eventually they ask, you know, why are you doing all of this for free? And then we share the gospel with them, saying, right. Because God loved us while we were his enemies, so we love you. And then we want to help you. So that's the way to introduce the gospel.
That's great.
So so we're going to keep doing the same. Okay. My wife is going to be helping her parents, which is 18, and and my son also need to adjust, learn to drive, and get to pay for uni there. So it's a big job for her too.
Yeah.
So while we're searching for a new house eventually.
Okay. Well, let me pray accordingly for those things. Is that okay?
I appreciate that.
Come with me close over here. Loving Father God, we pray for Fiona and Ricardo and Joseph, and we thank you for them willing to be your servants in sharing your love with refugees here in Sydney, especially amongst those who are of a Muslim faith. We thank you for this opportunity now for them to move to Brisbane and continue your work through them. We pray for safety as they travel, and we pray that along the way they may know your presence and your guidance and your supply of help and need. We pray for Joseph as he settles in, learns to drive, finds a job, learns. We pray for Fiona as she cares for her parents at this time, and that's a right thing to be doing. And we pray for them both, Joseph. We pray for them as they, for Ricardo and Fiona, as they work alongside, show your love. And in that, we do pray that you'll be faithful, as you've promised, and grant opportunities for them to share the greatest love story, gospel, in your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. Please ask them both, the three of them, about things that you can pray for them over morning tea after church today. David's going to come and continue in our time of prayer this morning. Thanks, David.
Please join me in prayer. Let's start with the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Who is this man? Saving Father, we thank you that you have come to save the sick and the sinners. We come before you knowing that this is what we are and we need you to save us. Thank you that you have made yourself known to us. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins and set us back into relationship with you. Thank you that we can be certain of this. We hear the story of the great banquet that Levi held on that day 2,000 years ago, and we look forward with anticipation to the amazing banquet that you will hold in the new creation for your people. How delightful it will be to eat and drink with you then, not as sinners and the sick, but as the healed and the righteous. Thank you for the hope we have of a resurrection glory to be with you forever. Help us now as your people in this place and at this time to be your partners in fishing for people. Give us a chance to be astonished at the catch of fish that you have prepared and the people that you will call to yourself. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so big that that you call everyone to return to you and be in relationship with you. Help us to do our part in this great work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Lord Jesus, ruler of all and the Prince of Peace, we know that you are the rightful King of all and that you're in control of what happens in the world around us. However, we live in a broken and divided world where evil, hatred, and greed continue to prevail. Lord Jesus, we earnestly come before you with hearts of concern for the war that has broken out in the country of Ukraine because of the invasion from Russia. We trust that you are sovereign and will work your purposes out even in this situation. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will curtail aggression and bring about a miracle where the fighting stops and calm will prevail. We know that for man this is impossible, but for you all things are possible. We ask that you will give the world leaders involved the strength to find a way to bring about peace and stop war and bloodshed. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us where there will be no more war and no more tears, and we can be united in peace together. We long for that day and ask that you will bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, we also ask that you will give wisdom to the leaders of our country. Help them to see the right way to provide international aid at this time. Help them to open our country to be a place of refuge. Sometimes we've been confused as a nation as to whether we are open for those who've come across the seas. And yet our national anthem tells us we've boundless plains to share. Give us the courage that this time we will take more than our share of refugees. There are so many, there are so many other things to pray for in this situation. So I'm going to stop now and suggest that you each pray silently where you are for what is on your heart about the war in Ukraine. You may want to pray for the church there, for the soldiers, for Putin and Xi Jinping, for the Russian people, for the UN, for Western leaders like Biden, Johnson and Macron, for the innocent civilians, for the injured and those trying to treat them. So please pray silently for what's on your heart. Lord our Father, thank you that you search our hearts and know what we're all praying for at this time. Lord, we lift this dangerous situation to you and ask for your healing and peace to prevail. May your kingdom come. Amen. And the set prayer for today is very timely, and I'll pray it now. Let us pray that God will bring peace to the world and freedom to his church. Lord, guide the course of world events and give your church the joy and peace of serving you in freedom. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Lord our God, we know that you love the truth and detest lies. With such dramatic world events, we need to understand the truth. So we bring before you the important role of the journalism-based media and social media platforms in our society. We thank you for the work done by professional journalists who have a thirst for telling the truth based on facts and informing us of these important stories and events that we need to know about or think about. Please prosper them in their work. We ask that you will uphold Christians who work in the media sector. What we see of this sector appears to often be cynical and critical of people who serve you. So we ask that you will give them confidence and strength to maintain the integrity of their faith in the work that they do and in the workplaces that they occupy. We ask that by this they will be salt and light for the people around them and able to show your love and care for everyone. And Lord God, we ask for the role of media in our society to be protected and enhanced. Please protect us from misinformation and deliberate lies, and give us the wisdom to continue to know how to value and support good journalism. Amen. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we thank you for the opportunity to teach Scripture in schools again now as the COVID situation changes. We ask that as relationships are re-established, that you will use this as a way for us to be involved as a church in the life of our local community, not just here, but all around the state. We thank you for the dedicated volunteers who invest their time and effort in the preparation and leading of the classes. Please give them wisdom and insight into how to reveal your word and your love for all people and your desire for us to all turn to you and acknowledge our need of you. Give them patience and strength for when it is needed in standing in front of their class. We thank you for the students who attend Scripture. Please open their hearts and minds to not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. We ask that by your Spirit you'll be growing them in their knowledge and love of you and how that changes them and their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in this part of your kingdom. And we ask that you will prosper this work as it restarts now. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Kairos prison ministry that you have used to bring the gospel to thousands of inmates throughout the years. We also thank you for the Kairos Outsides ministry to women who have family members in jail and for the Torch program that ministers to young people who are in prison. Lord, because of COVID-19, this ministry has had to be put on hold for so long. We ask that you would enable this ministry to resume again as soon as possible. We pray for prisoners and their families during this time of the pandemic. Please use this time to draw them to yourself. We pray for the prison staff who are under even more pressure at this time. We pray for prison chaplains that you would give them many opportunities to share your love and truth. Lord, we also pray for the victims of crime and for their families that you would help them in their distress and ongoing pain. May the love of and grace of Jesus transform lives, and may the power of the Holy Spirit make it possible for Kairos' ministry to resume. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you'll provide what is needed in all ways for them at this time. Lord our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." At the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal, originated from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in him. As we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in Christ. And as we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way. And let us say together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table, but you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices here at Abbotsford to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, he took the cup and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving this morning. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, the children may come in at this point and join us for the last of our times together for the songs. But before we do, there's a couple of announcements to make. I'll skip through a couple first while we're waiting for Karen to come and join us. But guys, we had a great day yesterday, didn't we? We didn't go out playing bowls in the rain, and we were very grateful for Alex to organise that, and we look forward to that to another time. But we had a bit of a fun day here back at the church, and we had a lot of, some fun games. You can talk with the blokes and ask how that went yesterday. Although I was a bit disappointed with one of the tables. One of the tables couldn't name five women in the church, all right? So that was a bit of a worry, all right? And that was just one table. And they had a lot of fun together. Prayer families are on after church today, and Karen might have a little bit to say about that. But whilst Karen's just coming up now, I'll just say that next Sunday we have a guest speaker, and it's Reverend David Anthony's. He's the new Anglican chaplain to Concord Hospital. Next Sunday also we'll be doing our National Church Life Survey as well. So that'll be after church. So as you come to church, you'll receive that little pamphlet. And then at the end of church, not during the sermon, okay, but at the end of church, you can do the survey and just hang around and tick that in and hand those in. Also on the 13th of March will be our annual general meeting, our annual vestry meeting, and that'll be immediately after church. It's only two Sundays away, so there'll be documents for you to read and think about next Sunday in preparation for that. Karen, do you want to come forward?
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know that on Friday you'd heard us advertising the Mothers Union Conference. We live streamed that here at the church. Here's a happy snap of us gathered here. While we were few in number here, there were many people across the state who joined in online. And it was actually an excellent conference, great speakers, good topics covered. And I'll let you know when they, hopefully in the future, they will put it up and make it available online, because there were some talks that I'd highly recommend you hearing. Particularly, we talked about Rob Smith talking about identity, really interesting thoughts that he had about that in light of our current culture. And also Dr. Jenny Brown speaking about personal relationships and how we operate in those relationships and often have the wrong end of the stick. So really helpful and insightful things to share from those. So I'd encourage you, when they do become available online, to try and catch up on those. Or talk to the people who were here and hear what they had to say. Hear how they've heard and found helpful the things that we talked about. So thank you for that. And this morning, after kids' church and church, we'll be having our prayer families gathering. We'll just be here in the playground. It looks like the clouds have just gone over again, so it's still dry. So that'll be awesome. So hang around for that. And next Saturday morning, we have the ladies' morning tea, where we're supporting Share the Dignity. That's a charity that's helping women in difficult circumstances have the equipment they need for their health and hygiene. So we've had some very generous donations already come in to support that. But that's a time for us just to get together and have fun. Eliza Stevens will be coming along to share some of her experience of being connected with this charity. And if you haven't put your name down yet, please add it to the list at the back of the church. Or if for your circumstances you think you're not able to come, but then on the day you can, just turn up. We'd love to see you.
Also, we've got a from Anglicare just saying thank you for your contributions towards the Toys and Tucker at the end of the last year. And there's something, I think, in the bulletin about that, Anglicare say thank you for your contributions. Also, there's a little note from Doris Kelly. For those who are regular members here, Doris turned a member of this church with her sister many, many years. She turned 100 not so long ago, and she's just sent a little thank you letter to us all. And that's written in the bulletin as well as on the notice board outside. Thank you for giving towards the work of God's work here in this parish and beyond. Please continue to do so in the coming year ahead. Plan to give either through direct giving or through the offertory envelopes at the back. And again, after church, if you'd like to come and have some prayer for you, please come up the front. We'll have two people from our congregation who'll be happy to pray for you today. And as you leave and have some morning tea, and it is dry outside, grab your cup of tea, grab your coffee. Thank you for those who've been on morning tea, and move straight outside into the playground. If it's wet, if it's raining, sort of move into here, spread it out over the foyer and into the church that's here, but keeping COVID safe. And we will indicate to you during the week regarding masks as I get some guidance from our wardens and parish council as they meet after church today too. Lots happening. Everything's underway for the new year. All right. Well, Our final song is This Life I Live. It's not our own. Christ has redeemed it for us. He took it to be us and treasured his prize for us. Let's stand and sing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.